Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Tom Moran here from Tom's Big Spiders, and I am finally in the new tarantula room after seemingly months of talking about it and dreaming about it. We are finally here. Granted, the situation isn't ideal at the moment because my whole plan was I had an older computer that I haven't been using for a while when I got this newer one to do my editing, and the goal was to have the newer computer downstairs because when I do editing and stuff, I like being around the family, so usually we'll throw a movie on or something in the background, and I do my editing right in the room with them because it takes time, and the goal was to have the other computer upstairs in the tarantula room to do the podcast on. Well, to make a very long story short, we dragged up the old computer, we set it up, it revved right up. I'm like, this is going to be great. I went to plug my Yeti microphone in, and the Yeti microphone, it wouldn't read it. I went through all the troubleshooting. I'm not the most computer literate person in the world, but I'm pretty good at reading, you know, troubleshooting things on forums and stuff. Tried everything, could not get it to work, decided I'd buy a new wire for it. Well, I went to turn the computer off, and as I went to turn it off, I noticed it said turn off and update, which I normally wouldn't have done it because the computer's been out of commission for a while. I was kind of worried what updates might do to it, but like an idiot, I went yes and went to start it up the next day. The computer starts up. It's not reading the keyboard. It's not reading the mouse, and it's not reading the monitor. I don't know what I did to it, but apparently whatever update went into the computer screwed things up. So I had to drag the other computer back up here, but hey, we're here. It's fine. What a move. As much as we thought about this and planned out, and granted, it's one of those deals, like I always joke that I, you know, plan for the worst, hope for the best. And I think we did that in this situation. We planned for bad weather. We planned for it to take a lot more trips than it actually did. I think it fell somewhere in the middle. We did our first trip, and I think we got cocky about it. Basically, what we did is we decided to bring them all over. We weren't going to take them out of their enclosures. That would just be too much. It would involve too much time, and honestly, I don't think we had anything to gain as far as taking them all out and wrapping them all up. So we kept them in their enclosures. I took out anything that I thought might fall, tried to stabilize them a bit. And essentially, we went for the Sterlite boxes first, which was proved to be kind of a dumb move, only because I think that went so easy that we got cocky and thought this was going to be a really easy move. We also ended up with, you know, a day that was 60-something degrees here, which was fantastic weather. It's been basically 20s since then, 20s and 30s. So we had a nice day. We're like, let's kick this thing off. So the night before I got inspired, we were moving my Scotch collection over. I'll get into that at some point. But we had been collecting all of these boxes that they put wine in, the boxes that have the cardboard dividers in it that divide them into little compartments. And it got me thinking that we could load these into the back of my car. And the biggest issue was going to be kind of Tetrising these all in there so that they were packed tightly and could be moved safely. And what I figured out is we could use that kind of theory using cardboard to block off the individual sections to kind of stabilize the whole set. So in other words, we put a row in, and then instead of just putting another row in right behind it, we'd put in some cardboard. I had some folded up cardboard boxes that I would shove in there to kind of hold them in place and then pack in more. So it allowed us to kind of fit ones in that were different shapes, different sizes, different heights, and still have them be secure. And I will be doing a whole video on this to try to explain it better. I mean, it's hard to kind of articulate what this looked like, but we did our first set and we did the Sterilites, which I had about 20 something, maybe 30 of the Sterilite, the longer Sterilite shoe boxes that I keep a lot of my bigger species in. And those went in, we stacked them three high, four across, put in a piece of cardboard, three high, four across, put in a piece of cardboard, three high, four, you get the point. And then grab some miscellaneous stuff in there, like some of the larger ExoTerras to kind of hold everything in place. And we took our first trip and it went great. And we got them all up here. We took our second trip. It went great. Well, then the weather took a turn and we ended up with 30 degree weather. And the goal was to get these guys out of the house as quickly as possible because we had an incoming snowstorm where we were expecting over a foot of snow and high winds. And if we lost power in the old house, we would not be able to get to it to run the generator. So anything stuck there could potentially freeze. So the heat was on, so to speak, to get them over as quickly as possible. So basically what would happen is first night I drove my son over. He helped me with some of them. Then my daughter, she went to school. I teach at the school she's at now. So on the way home from school, we stopped there. We grabbed some more, loaded them up, got them over here. Billy had the garage door open and ready, and we quickly brought them all in. And then the next time I met Billy over there and we grabbed them, she was fantastic because she actually got to the house before I did and had them all taped up. Because basically if we stacked any boxes, we would use packing tape to hold the boxes or the containers together so they couldn't shift. And she had them all wrapped up. So the last time, I think it was five trips total. total, two on one day, and then three the next three school days, we got them all over. And I'll tell you, there was a moment where I've been putting these shelves up for a couple weeks, getting everything in here. I thought I was going to have all this extra space, which, don't get me wrong, I only have approximately half the room filled right now. But I really thought these guys were going to take up like one wall with a bunch of room left over. My gosh, is my collection big. I don't think we got up here at one point, and I was standing here, and I'm like, how in Lord's name did I fit all of these comfortably? I mean, it was tight. And one of the reasons I wanted the bigger transfer room is it was a lot of stacking and doubles, you know, like two rows in some of these shelving units and whatnot. And I needed more room so I could freely see everybody. Because feeding time was like a Jenga puzzle where you're pulling out stuff and trying to make sure that, you know, you remember to get the ones that are behind it. And it just wasn't ideal. But it's still, it wasn't like a hoarding situation. They were neatly organized. It was just kind of stuffy. To look at the shelves lined with these spiders and try to figure out how, I'm a pretty good visual spatial guy, I would never have predicted we could fit this many spiders in that smaller room. And it was funny because after I got everything situated after the final trip and everything was up, Billy kind of joined me and she's like, how the heck did we fit all those in the room? It's like everybody thought the same thing. It doesn't make sense. But somehow we did it, but it doesn't matter anymore because they're here. We're in the new room. I did a feeding the other night. It went so much more quickly. Basically what I did is I purchased a large food cart. It's like 4 feet by 2 feet, one of those stainless steel looking ones that you would see in a kitchen. And I use that, and basically I have all on the bottom shelf, all of my feeding and maintenance stuff, my tongs, I have a little bin that I can dump water dishes out and clean them out in because we don't have a sink up here yet, or that's one of the things we're looking at doing, getting a sink up here because it'd just be easier. And then I just walk around with a cart. I start at one end of the room, and I start taking things down. I can usually take a whole shelf down at a time, feed them, water them, take out the boluses, clean them, whatever it may be, put them back. It was moving so much more quickly. Also, we shot our first video here yesterday, so I will be posting that up afterwards. I normally don't post the videos up on Facebook because I figure people that follow me on YouTube know when there's a video out, and people on Facebook know, just check YouTube. But this is one I want to put up because I know a lot of people are going to be asking what the room looks like. I did show off a quick crappy video of what the room looks like. I kind of panned around and showed how it was being set up. So for people that have been listening to me talk about this for a while, you can get a glimpse of that. And you can also kind of see the new video style, which we're going to be switching things up a bit because I've been doing these rehousing videos for years, and I'm not, just heads up, there's no way I'm stopping with the rehousing videos. I'm not reinventing the wheel. We are doing, it's still going to be Billy and I. She's still shooting it. We do have the second camera set up now, which is something I've dabbled with before, but it's been tough to, when you're sitting there doing it on your dinner table, it's tough to set all this stuff up. Well, now I basically set my cart in the middle of the room. I have a brand new giant light that I use to light things. I have a smaller light to light things. I have the camera that I can set my other camera overlooking it, so you kind of have a bird's eye view of rehousings and stuff. And then Billy, you know, going around, who does a fantastic job. I don't think she gets enough credit for getting in there with my crappy little Samsung and getting some of those great shots. We're going to keep that, but what I'm going to toy with is a kind of a new format for the rehousing husbandry videos. Traditionally, it would be me rehousing and talking through the entire thing and trying to remember all the details. Now what we're going to do, and you'll see with this new video, is if I have older rehousing videos, I'm going to show those as well as kind of a recap to be like, all right, well, here it was as a sling going into the juvenile enclosure. And during that point, I will go through all of the husbandry detail for slings and juveniles. So that way it's much more bold. You'll see the prints bigger. It's going to be easier to read. I finally dragged them out longer. So when the text comes on the screen, one of the biggest complaints I had from people is you don't leave the text up there long enough. Now, my thought was always the text was something you could pause so that anybody that wanted to read it, like you can pause, like when I'm reading text on YouTube, it goes by too quickly. I just move the little needle back and pause it so I can read it. But I've had a lot of people say, I wish it was up there longer. So this gives us like kind of a background. So there is something to see in the background. You can kind of see that whole rehousing go. But I've also made the text take up most of the screen so that it's easier to read. It's up there for longer. I'm hoping, again, it's all about making the information more accessible. And then one of the other things we're doing is we're doing all the shooting from the actual tarantula room. So you'll get to see me take the whatever spider or species we're working with. You'll get to see where it was on the shelf. We're taking it down. We talk about it. We see some older footage. And then we get into the actual rehousing, wherein now I only have to talk about the adult accommodations or whatever it is. If I'm doing a sling to juvenile, you will see the juvenile information. So I just think it'll allow for much more potent videos. It'll allow people to be able to access the material more readily. Again, this isn't, I had people go, oh no, you're not going all Hollywood on us. No, that's not my thing. There are channels out there that do that stuff and they do it much better than I ever would or could do. So I'm not, it's not a point of emulating that. I'm sticking with what I've, you know, done from day one, which is trying to just present the information in a stripped down format. We're not trying to be funny. We're not trying to be, you know, and I hate to say entertaining because I I have gotten the gist that people that watch my stuff do find it entertaining. It's just we're not trying to make it entertaining. The whole point isn't what kind of video can we make to get a bunch of eyes on the channel. The whole video is which species are we talking about? What information do we need to convey, and what's the best way to convey it? And a lot of times that's three housing, because that's the only time I will see these guys. I'm not into diddling them or trying to get them out when they're, you know, to disturb them, to get video of them. I'm not about doing photo shoots with them. It's not my thing. Again, to each your own. It's just, that's not what I'm here for. The rehousings have always been a great time because you kind of get to see the spider. If you're looking for information, you get information, and hopefully you also get to see a calm rehousing, because there, God knows, there are enough rehousing videos out there where things go horribly wrong, and I get it, and that happens, and I'm not judging, or, you know, this is no way throwing shade at anybody that had a bad rehousing. It happens. But those aren't the type of videos you want to watch when you're about to rehouse a spider that you have some apprehension about. You want one that's going to show you a calm rehousing, and that's what we try to deliver. So the newest video is up. It's Somopius or Somopius. I kind of like the Somopius. How do you guys pronounce it? I've heard it pronounced both ways, and I'm kind of leaning toward that one now. It kind of flows a little bit better. But anyway, the P. Victori or the Darth Maul or the Mexican half and half, whichever you prefer. I like Darth Maul because we're big Star Wars fans here, but that's the first one in the new house. So years from now, if we're still doing this, you guys can all point back to, oh yeah, I remember when the first video they did in the new tarantula room. And I think it came out pretty well. We've got some things to work through. I think Billy did a fantastic job because it was a little more tricky this time around because it's a different format. But I think it came out well overall, and hopefully, you know, some of you guys check it out and get a little glimpse. Even if you just want to watch the beginning, there's a little glimpse where I have the monitor going behind me, the fake monitor, and you can see pictures of the tarantula room. So give that a look if you like. Also, this episode, before we get into the meat of it, a buddy of mine, patron of mine, Robin Van Esch, pointed out that Andrew Smith, who does Love Tarantulas, the YouTube channel, which is an amazing channel, I think I promoted it before on YouTube. I don't know if I promoted it on Facebook, but I just put something up that he has a Kickstarter up because this guy goes out and sees these animals in their natural habitat. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he's the one that discovered Pisolotheria hanumavilisa mica. He's huge in the hobby, and I try to support him anytime I can. He's already come out with one DVD, and he's got a new one coming out that will feature, it's got man-eating lions, I'm not into that part, but the king or queen baboon will be featured in it in its natural habitat, and he's trying to raise money to produce the DVD for that. He's got some pretty good things over on Kickstarter deals that you can get, where you get some of his older stuff for free. He's very, very close. I think at this point, let me just click over, he's at about 70% or so. Yep, we're at 70%. He's looking to raise $4,732. He has $4,085. I've already contributed to it. I want it. I want this video. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Tom wants this video, and for that video to be made, we need to reach that goal. So anybody that's interested, again, I know everybody does Kickstarters and stuff, and some people are wary of them, and I don't normally promote these unless it's something that I think is really cool. This guy's the real deal. He knows his stuff. He's been making fantastic videos for years, and I'm telling you, these documentaries, he has one that I referenced, one that was about Lazy Adora Parahibana, where he actually holds one of the biggest ones I've ever seen. Awesome stuff. So if you get the chance, or if you feel, I know it's that time of the year where Christmas is coming, the holidays are coming, Hanukkah, I believe, just ended, and nobody has extra money. But if you could find a little bit and you want to support this, I would definitely encourage it, because again, it's all about Tom Moran getting the video. I'm totally kidding. It's a good cause. And he's got two others in the pipe. And one of them, I believe, is a Pisolotheria video that features P. Metallica in the wild. I would kill to see that footage. And I don't know if he'll go ahead with those if this one doesn't get the go ahead. So I will put that, I've already posted it on my Facebook page, so I'm not going to bother posting it again. I posted up early this morning. So anybody interested, let me know if you pick it up. We can all do a viewing of it. It'd be kind of neat to put it on. Actually, that might be something cool to do, kind of do a viewing of it or watch it together. We'll see if it gets made and how it goes. Maybe we can put something together like that. But anyhow, if that's something you're interested, if you like, you know, good quality content and seeing tarantulas in their natural habitat, I would encourage you to check this out, Kickstarter, put a little toward it, and hopefully pick up what's going to be a pretty amazing video. All right, so with that bit of business out of the way, time to get in. This is where I drive people nuts sometimes, because when I have to come up with names of the podcast, it's difficult to put, like if I do one that has a bunch of different topics, it can be very difficult to come up with a quick eye-catching topic that encapsulates everything. And if I don't encapsulate everything, what happens is people come on and go, man, I thought I heard you were going to talk about this, but then you spent 15 minutes talking about something totally different. So bear with me sometimes. I usually pick the thing that's the biggest focus of the podcast. And then in the comments, I will mention, hey, we're going to talk about this and this first. In this case, obviously, we wanted to talk a little bit about The Move. We wanted to talk a little bit about Andrew Smith's new DVD. And now what you're probably here for, which is going to be the title of this podcast, we're going to call it the top obscure species in my collection. I've had a couple people ask me to do something with this, and what I got now is a video in production where we're going to do a video with it. We're going to do the podcast version, but I do think this is cool because I think one of the things we take for granted sometimes, and I've referenced this before, is there's certain species that we see that come into the hobby and then they disappear and you don't see them all that much. Or you get ones that have been around for a while and they disappear, or you get ones that, you know, you see overseas and they never make it over here, and vice versa. I think it's sometimes important to acknowledge some of these guys so that when they come out again, people are aware of them, are looking for them so that we can grab them, get them into the hobby, and hopefully start breeding them and producing them so more people had them. So I do have some in my collection that I adore that are ones that, and in many cases, it's ones that were new to the hobby that unfortunately didn't catch, meaning they came in, a bunch of people grabbed them, and you never saw them again. Some of them were around a while ago, and you stopped seeing them because fortunately, they stopped importing wild-caught specimens. That's a good thing, but unfortunately, nobody bred them. Others, I tried to steer away from ones that were just pricey tarantulas. I don't, you know, a lot of times people do the list like, oh, my most expensive ones. I'm not here to do that. That's ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. I don't want to, you know, rub it into people's face. Oh, look at it. I got these. They're cost a lot of money. That's not what it's about. And some of the most expensive ones, quite frankly, are going to be quite prevalent down the road and much cheaper. So they will not necessarily be obscure, or we'll use the word uncommon tarantulas. I'm talking about the ones that right now, you know, 9 out of 10 times when you go out and search for them, nobody has them. You may stumble upon somebody who'll get an import in and all of a sudden they'll have them for a bit and then they sell out. Ones that you just don't see readily available. And these are ones that unfortunately sometimes could go on beginner's list, but you leave them off because nobody's going to ever be able to find them. So I'm not going to do it as a top 10. There is no particular order to this. And again, top 10 lists are a blast. Don't get me wrong. I've done top 10 lists before. I will probably do them in the future just because they're a fun thing for me to do and they're more a personal thing. Like I even as a kid, I would always put together like my top 10 lists of favorite superheroes, my top 10 lists of favorite horror movies, my top 10 lists of favorite comedy. I love doing stuff like that and it's fun. My problem is when I try to do educational videos, people will look at these lists and think they're the be all end all and I don't want that mistake made. So for example, if I did a top 10 old world species, I have some people that are like, well, Tom Moran said that this was the top old world species. No, that's just my top favorite. There's nothing behind that. It's just my opinion. Or when you do top 10 beginner species or top 20 beginner species, whatever it is, they're all interchangeable as far as I'm concerned. Take that top 10 and pick one that works for you because, you know, somebody will argue, well, I thought this one should be top 10. Well, it could be top 10. Who knows? It's just an opinion. So that's why I try to stay away from because I don't want people adhering too closely to them. That's not the point. They're more just fun and to get some species out there that, in this case, some species out there that people might not have heard of that hopefully they will come back around again and people will be grabbing them up and enjoying them as much as I do. So to kick this one off, first one on the list, which I was going to leave to last because it's one of my big surprises. And the thing is with some of these species, when I buy them, there's not a lot out there on them. Or sometimes you find one of these deals where like you go to Arachnoboards and you find out they were here in the hobby in 2013. Somebody, you know, got a few of them in and then you never see them again. And then all of a sudden they're back in the hobby. So you find like really old information, but not much on them. This one is Theraphosinae species pura. I picked them up, I believe it was October of 2018 or 2000, yeah, October, we'll go with October 2018. And at the time, there were some things I didn't know much about them, except they were, you know, cool Peruvian species, I believe. And I set them up as, you know, normal slings with in the dram vials with the moist substrate. They did your sling thing. They hid. They did some tunneling. They came out and ate pre-killed food. They put on some size. I got medium growth rate out of them. I mean, they were, one thing I noticed is that I wasn't, when I first got them, I didn't think they were eating very much. And what would happen is they would come out, they would fill up after like two meals and then immediately bury themselves and disappear. And it was kind of unsettling at first because the other slings I got the same time as these guys were actually eating a lot more before they went into pre-mol. But lo and behold, they would disappear for a little bit. They would pop back out. They would eat some more. Anyway, they did some burrowing about an inch and a half or so. They started hanging out more outside. I rehoused them. Well, I had the male mature first. This was last year. And what a stunning young man he is. He's green, which I have a thing. I've said this many, many times. There aren't a lot of green tarantulas. He is a green tarantula. Beautiful green coloration. Just stunning. I don't know if I got off Instagram again for a while because I just didn't have time for it. I don't know if I ended up posting. I think I might have posted up a picture of the male. And it's just a beautiful dude. Well, the other one molted several months later. And it's a female and a much larger spider than I was expecting. The male is probably around 3 inches or so, gangly 3 inches, you know, decent size. And I had heard that they were a smaller species. Well, the female is at least 4 inches and just a gorgeous coloration, like a greenish olive kind of brown combination with stripes, striking stripes going down her knees. Looks totally different than the male. Big girl. Like, I was really shocked by how much size she put on with that last molt. And now that I have a smaller boy and a bigger female, I'm hoping that once we get the temperature regulated in this room a little bit, that we'll be able to do some breeding with them, because I would love to see these guys in the hobby. They are just, I haven't seen anything like it. And that's the cool thing about when you purchase spiders that you haven't heard a lot about, that aren't particularly common. A lot of times you can't find pictures and images of them, so you have no idea what you're getting. So it's kind of like a shock when all of a sudden they molt and they're gorgeous spiders. I was kind of anticipating they would be your typical brownish spiders. Boy, was I wrong. Just absolutely stunning. Now, the male is rather laid back. The female is a little more skittish now, but overall, like, I can open her container and she'll just kind of flatten out and sit there. She doesn't go really nuts. Now that they've put on some size, they're both excellent eaters. The male is still eating, thank gosh, because again, we got to make sure we want to pair them with the lady. But I'm going to be rehousing them soon, so there'll be a video featuring both of them. I love when I can do a video and show, hey, this is an adult male, this is an adult female. And again, raise awareness for it. Unfortunately, I'm guessing there probably aren't many out there available right now, so it's not going to be a huge video with people looking for, you know, information on them, because I don't think there's a lot of them available. But hopefully they will come back around again, and that video will be there for people who are picking up slings. So that would be the first one on the list, is Theraphos and I species Pura. Awesome spiders. If you can find them, definitely pick them up. I strongly encourage people. You will not be disappointed. All right, next one up, I've talked about before, and it bears repeating, the Lasiodorides polycuspilatus, or Peruvian blonde. Picked this one up in April of 2016. At the time, it was like a larger sling. It wasn't quite a juvenile, but a decent size. And at that time, it burrowed quite a bit. You didn't see too much of it. Well, then it started to come into its own, and it became a lot more bold. It would come out and hang out a little bit. It was a little skittish. Again, if you opened its closure, it would dart back to its burrow. But once it started picking up its adult colors, it became one of my favorites. Just, I know a lot of folks aren't into the brown or tan ones. That's a big deal. I don't care what color a tarantula is. They can be brown, they can be black, whatever. Colorful, it's all the same to me. I just love the earthy tones of this, kind of like tans and browns and almost a grayish complexion to them. Just really good looking spiders. A little on the smaller side. Mine is about probably about 4.5 inches or so, but pretty beefy. Right now, she's going through her crazy stage. We went through a period where she was actually very laid back, like one of the spiders, and this is when I caution people about handling. She's one of the spiders that if you were to say pick your top 10 in your collection that you'd feel comfortable handling, she would have been one of them. She was very laid back. But after her recent molt, she became much more skittish and a little bit crazy. So I definitely would not attempt to hold her now. She'd be all over the place. She's one of the ones I got to be careful with when I open up her enclosure that she doesn't bolt out. But we'll see if she molts. You know, after the next molt, she may calm down a bit. Also, she's probably due for a rehousing. The one now is decent size for her, but I got a funny feeling if she had something, she could do a little more burrowing in, have a little more privacy in. She'd probably be more laid back. But awesome spiders. You see them pop up every so often. I've had a couple people over the years contact me, go, hey, I found one of these. Somebody found one in the pet store, which I found very strange. But definitely check them out. They are very cool looking spiders, very unique. Again, I'm always looking for those ones that not everybody has, because it kind of makes you feel a little extra special when you can go, hey, I got one of these. No, I really don't mean that, but it does. I do like, I don't know, there's something about the unique ones in my collection. Like, don't get me wrong, I love my common species, but there's something about the ones that you can point to and go, yeah, not many people have one of those right now. So Lasiodorides polycuspilatus Peruvian blonde, awesome one to keep an eye out for. I want to say a couple, not that long ago, somebody had slings of them out. So they do pop up occasionally, and unfortunately just not as often as they should. And this is one of those ones that could probably be a borderline beginner species for people, because it is pretty easy to keep and usually fairly laid back, unless you're my girl who's a little bit of a psycho right now. So L. polycuspilatus, awesome one. Next one on the list, Another favorite, and you're going to keep hearing this, and this is a running joke with several people that have followed my channel and stuff for years, that everybody's my favorite, like literally. But there are certain ones that they're more my favorite. We'll put it that way. There's different levels of favoritism in this tarantula household. But the Cryptosporidium species Black Amelia, I picked these guys up, or mine up, in March of 2018. She was a little sling at that point. The name Black Amelia comes from the fact that they do look like a Brachypelma amelia to a point, except they're supposed to have this little black triangle on their carapace, which mine does not have. That said, there is a Costa Rican version and a Panamanian version, and I'm not sure if there's differences in the appearance between the two or if they're the exact same spider. They're probably the exact same spider, but it was just a thought. Anyway, picked it up in, I'm sorry, not March of 2018, October of 2017, correction there. And it was right from the get-go, a voracious eater. I mean, I didn't know very much about this thing when I got it. I set it up as you typically would, slings and, you know, the dram bio with some moist substrate. Well, this one was like a little ambush prey. You come out and eat and grab those, like, at that point, I think I was feeding a pinhead lateralis roaches, and it was just attacking them with a vicious, vicious hunting response, which was great and is kept. It is one of my best hunters out of all my spiders, one of my favorites to feed, because she is just a stone cold killer. I get a little giggle every time I feed her because she's just this cute, pretty little spider. Again, picture of Amelia. A little less reddish and just a cute little spider, but my gosh, if she detects a cricket nearby, she tears that thing apart. The other night, I dropped in a really fat, large adult cricket, and she wrestled that thing onto it. She was on her back. She had rolled over with it. Just awesome to watch. Now, mine started off, burrowing again at about, I'd say about an inch and a half or so. She had enough room to burrow, but she started hanging out in the open more. Now she's out in the open almost all the time. She does have I give her a little cork bark hide that she did a little digging in, but for the most part, she's right out in the open. Occasionally, if I open up the enclosure, she'll sometimes just lazily go back to that burrow. More often than not, she just sits right there, right out in the open. There, again, talking about ones that you'd probably consider handling if you were into handling, she would be one of them. She's, again, the only thing I'd worry about is that feeding response, which that's sometimes when people go to handle spiders and the spider, quote unquote, attacks them, it's actually thinking it's getting food, so it's attacking. That's how I almost got bit by my G. porteri all those years ago handling her, because I tried to shoo her into my hand, and when I touched her, she had a feeding response and went at it with the fangs. It wasn't that she was trying to hurt me or she was being defensive. She thought she was being fed. So this is one of those ones I could see you'd want to make sure she knew she wasn't getting fed before you handle her, but very cute little thing. Right now, she's probably about, 3.5 inches or so around there. I believe it is a smaller species. I don't think she's going to get all that much bigger, but if she does, even better. If not, she's an adorable little thing. Awesome spider. Definitely encourage people to seek them out if they see them available. All right, next one up is just a little brown dwarf spider, but my lord, do I love them. Katamiri parvum, C. parvum. I don't know if there's a common name for them. I did not write it down, so feel free to correct me if there's a common name, but I believe it's from Uruguay. I pronounced that in a video and somebody made fun of me terribly and I felt like an idiot, so I probably just mispronounced it again. But anyway, this is a dwarf species, very small spider, and this is a true dwarf species. A lot of times we say dwarfs and we get a spider that's like 3.5-4 inches, pretty hunky. These guys, the female I have is probably about 2 to 2.5 inches or so. The male's matured out at about probably a gangly 2 or so. Unfortunately, I had 2 that I raised from slings. I picked them up as slings in October of 2017, and they both turned out to be mature males. So I ended up getting a female from Fear Not Tarantula to try to breed. I paired her twice with them. I thought it went great. The male ended up passing away. The female ended up molting out. And I'm completely bummed because I really wanted to raise these guys and breed these guys and bring more of them into the hobby. This would have been one I would have given some away just to have people have them in their collection. But anyway, cool little spiders. They almost have the booties. Instead of getting the big fat New World booties, they have kind of the Old World pill-shaped booties, which I find kind of interesting. Mine were good eaters. They grew quickly. The males matured in under 2 years. I think the first one was about 18 months. The second one I thought was going to be female because it took a lot longer, but that one I think was around the 2-year mark or so. So they do grow quickly. They eat great. I found it's supposed to be a burrowing species that prefers moist substrate. I did give them moist substrate. I did give them burrows, and they did burrow as slings, but I found them that my female right now is out in the open almost all the time. If startled, she will kind of scamper away back to, she has a little burrow that she dug out, that's where I thought she was going to lay her egg sac, where unfortunately she molted instead. Bummer. But she normally will sit right out in the open. Like right now, I can see her from where I'm, sitting, and she's right out in the open again. Cool little thing. I like the ones that are tiny and just just sit out there calmly. Like somehow it gives them more personality than me. It makes me think they got a little bit of attitude. Although I've never received a threat posture. When I paired her with the male, she was very good with him. There was no issues there. I've never had a situation with her really being bolty or anything. Just a really cool spider. Now, again, they're brown, but I like the brown ones. I don't mind. And there's something about this cute little brown thing that I just adore. So that would be one. I know I spoke to some people. I believe I did an article on Tom's Big Spiders about the care of these. And some people came forward and said, yeah, I've kept these guys for years. I love them, which was cool because I find that the brown spiders are the tougher sells for some people. I've had people say flat out, yeah, I don't buy any of the boring brown ones, which for me, a giant hairy spider, regardless of the color, is cool, but that's just me. So anyway, if you like a little diminutive cutie, I would definitely check out the Sea Parvum. Really cool spiders, and they're ones that you see pop up every once in a while. So the next time they come out, I will probably grab some more slings because I want to get a male now. I would encourage others to grab some as well. All right, next on my list, I have Vitalius paranensis, or the Brazilian brown bird eater. This one I sometimes get confused with my L. polycuspidatus, only because they've basically grown. They remind me, they're similar spiders in my mind. They kind of remind me of each other, although they don't really look like each other. It's just the similar size, similar growth rate. They've kind of grown together at the same size, and I've always kept their enclosures right together. I have two of them stacked up, and they're always right together. So I always get them mixed up. But the paranensis, I had two of them originally that I got as slings in February of 2016. And they both, again, it's the same shtick for every single one of them. They were in dram vials with some, you know, moist substrate. They both did a lot of burrowing. I moved them as juveniles into larger enclosures. I believe it was they're like a gallon and a half sterilite containers that offered room for digging, put a lot of topsoil in there. Both of them dug burrows, would disappear and fill up the burrows when they were molting or in pre-molt. Well, then one of them molted. It was a mature male. I believe he molted in February, around February, March of 2018, so about 2 years later, and he hung on for quite a while. I was kind of hoping to get a lady, and nobody had one. Then my female is now probably pushing about 4 inches or so, about the same size as the polycuspidatus, but gorgeous pattern, much darker, almost like a dark chocolate overall coloration with some pinkish to them. It's the hardest one to explain. I had Billy come in one day and she's like, I go, look at this one, looks brown, and you put some light on it and it's just very difficult to describe, but a gorgeous, very striking tarantula, very unique looking tarantula. So not your typical brown one, because again, those pink overtones, and it's the only thing, a pink salmon-y color overtones really kind of give it a little pop. But mine is a nut job. This is one that, it's funny because as a female, she was bold. She was one of the few spiders that when I would open the enclosure and turn around to grab a prey item, she would come right out and sit right on the edge like she was going to escape. She never quite got out, but it was always close. I believe I had footage of her out there where I was trying to record her, and she came right out at the camera. She was always very inquisitive and very bold, which I love. I mean, it just makes them, for some reason, when they're like that, it makes them seem like they have so much more personality. As she got older, she calmed down for a little while, which was great. And then again, like the polycuspidatus, after her last molt, she went berserk. She's one that if I open that enclosure and it creaks, she ends up bolting all around. She's tried to get out before. A little bit of a nut job. And she's another one that I will probably rehouse in a larger. The container right now is not particularly small for her, but she's one that I think that if she gets a little extra cover, a little larger container, it might be better for her and she might calm down a bit, or she might just grow out of it with her next molt. But again, awesome looking spiders. On the smaller side, I don't know how large they get in all. This is not one I found a lot of information. I thought it was around the 5 or 6 inch mark, so she's getting there. But definitely, I hope she keeps her coloration, because it is something you have to see to kind of appreciate. And this is one of the reasons why I wanted to not only do this as a podcast, but as a video, because, you know, again, pictures are worth 1,000 words. And I think people that see pictures of her will recognize it. She's a truly unique looking spider and very beautiful. So really cool looking. Again, they will burrow. It is kind of one of the species that will burrow, but she's always out in the open. And I wish she'd use her burrow a little bit more, because it's tough to feed her, because when you pop that thing open, she bolts. So I'd rather she just go to her burrow and hide. But definitely a cool spider. I will definitely do updates on her, and hopefully with the next molt she calms down a little bit. I've seen a lot of my species of tarantulas. GBBs come to mind, P. sosomes. It seems to be mostly New World ones that hit around that 4, 4.5 inch mark and go through their kind of crazy stage. And I was talking about that with Billy the other day, that it seems to happen with several of them where they their slings are little crazy slings. They hit the juvenile stage and they're almost calm. And then they hit that like young adult stage and then they amp it up. But then they have a couple more molts later on and they're totally fine. So hopefully this happens with her because I'd love to get more pictures of her. And it's kind of hard to get pictures of her right now or any video because she's running around like a little mad woman. But V. Paranensis, Brazilian brown bird eater, awesome spiders. If you ever see them out and about, I encourage you again. That's going to be the whole theme of this one. Grab these guys up. Let's get them bred. Let's get some babies out there so there's more of them in the hobby so they aren't something that just, you know, 10 years from now, people go, oh, remember those spiders? I never see those anymore. All right, coming up next, we have one that I think I recently, it might have been earlier this year, did a husbandry video on, but the Lyrognathus crotalus, the L. crotalus, an Indian species, a burrower, reminds me a lot of one that's coming up on this list because it has the larger, furrier back legs that always kind of reminded me of the god Pan, the goat god who kind of had the fluffy legs and the human upper half. I know, just they've always reminded me of that, but awesome species. This was one, believe it or not, that I got from Tom Patterson in February 2016, and it was a freebie, and it was one of the best freebies I've ever received because it was an awesome, cool, unique spider. Tom's always got cool stuff over there. If you're ever looking for, you know, unique spiders that you don't see out and about, and you notice a few of them on this list have been from Tom, I would definitely check out or email him or Facebook message him and ask what he's got in stock because he's got some cool ones. But this is one of the ones that I've seen, that one of the few burrowing species I've seen that does the vertical burrow. So when it burrow, most fossorial species do a horizontal, more a diagonal burrow. They start like at the top and they kind of do like a diagonal line down and then maybe clean out the bottom. These guys had, this one had a burrow that went straight up and down. And again, another species is going to be on this list in a moment had the same thing, but I always found that to be very cool when you see them blast off. One of the most elusive species I've ever kept. As a matter of fact, I've only caught it out once and I had some video of it where I went to feed mine. And I think what happened is she finally outgrew her enclosure. I was like, whoa, she's put on some serious size. She needs to be rehoused. And she was out in the open, and I got some video of her eating, which I was so excited about because she's a gorgeous thing. Again, thick legs, darker overall coloration, almost a black, dark brown, black coloration. Small, probably about the 4-inch range or so. But again, not one you're going to see all that often. But when you see them, and I try to explain this to people who aren't really into the fossorials, it's yes, the majority of time you don't see them. But when you catch them out, it's like catching something out in the wild. Like you're so excited about it. You grab the camera, you're fumbling, you're trying to get the images because you never know when you're going to see it again. You really can't replicate that with other species. I always love that feeling. But besides the fact that you really see it, it's an awesome spider. I have it now in an 8x8x12 Zoomat. I think it's some other zoo company that makes cages, but it's a deeper enclosure. She's in right now about, I'd say, 8 or 9 inches of substrate. I keep the bottom moist. Again, she has dug a burrow that goes, this one's not as vertical. It kind of goes horizontal for a bit and then goes straight down. But I have caught her a couple times grabbing stuff and hunting, which is always cool. But really awesome spiders. Again, I think the hard sells for me are the, you know, true fossorial species, the ones you don't see all that much. Because again, people, and I get it, nobody wants to come in and have a tarantula collection where they're looking at just basically a box of dirt 99% of the time. I totally get it. But for those who do like those species, who don't mind not seeing their tarantula all that much, I would definitely encourage you to check out the L. crotalus. Again, don't see them around all that much, although I think somebody had slings not that long ago and I missed out on them and I was upset because I wanted to try to get a male. But definitely, again, theme of the day, if you see them and you're interested in these types of tarantulas, check them out, grab some up so that we can keep them in the hobby. Now, the spider I was just referring to, one of my all-time favorites, I picked these up in 2013, I think, and unfortunately, probably two of a handful of spiders in my collection that are actually wild-caught specimens, because I don't think anybody has done much breeding of these. That would be Eucratocelus pachypus, or the stout-leg baboon. I've adored, these are the cutest little things. I wish there was more of them out there because this would be like, if you had to do a top list of best beginner old world species, this is where I would start everybody, because all I've ever heard from anybody that's kept them is they're very laid back, very chill, no threat poses, adorable. They have big, giant pill-shaped booties. They have these giant furry back legs that again remind me of Pan, the, you know, half man, half goat god, because they're so fluffy. I've caught mine out quite a few times over the years, and when I do, it's always a treat. They usually just very, you'll catch them out and about, they kind of freeze for a second, and then they slowly turn around and climb down into their burrows and hide. And I've never caught one completely hunting, which is a shame because, again, these guys have the vertical burrows. Both of them have an entrance, two entrances to their burrows. They're both vertical, straight up and down, and they will lie in wait inside of those. And when a prey item comes up, they use those back legs, power right up, blast up, grab the cricket, and pull it right down in. It's the coolest thing. They like burst out. It's almost like one of those great white sharks breaching sometimes because they burst out, grab it, go right back down. Awesome to watch hunt. Hopefully someday I'll catch it on video. The last time I had it, it burst out. It grabbed the cricket, came down. I had never started the camera. I was so upset because I've been trying to catch this for years. But amazing species. Unfortunately, for years, they were importing the wild-caught females, the males. There was no males to be found in the hobby, so you don't see them offered as slings much at all. Somebody told me that they thought they had somebody that was selling slings, and I looked into it. It was a different species, unfortunately, and I was really bummed because I was hoping to get some slings of these guys because I would absolutely breed these in a heartbeat. I have not seen them offered, unfortunately, for quite some time, and I'm hoping that somewhere somebody has them and is able to breed them. I would pay top dollar to get some slings of these because they're just such cool spiders. Again, people asking back in the day when they were a little more popular and a little more prevalent. And again, these were wild caught specimens, so not a good thing, but there were a lot of them available and they were often recommended as a good beginner old world tarantula species. Can't really do that now though because nobody can find them, but I'm holding on to my two females and holding out hope that someday I am able to get a male for them so we can get some babies. I'm assuming they'd be probably pretty gentle with the males because most old worlds are, and keep your fingers crossed that we can find them. And if anybody knows people that are selling them, definitely let me know because I would buy some in a heartbeat. So that's Epachypus or the stout-legged baboon. Awesome little spiders. If you can find them, grab them up. This is one that probably would be one of the top on this list as far as ones that we really need more of in the hobby. And again, feel free to let me know if you see them out there because I am on the prowl for them. All right, next up on the list is my Acanthoscuria musculosa, the Brazilian black velvet, which has probably the most perplexing common name of any tarantula I own because they're not black. From what I've seen, none of them ever turn black. I could be wrong on this one. They all have this like reddish, beautiful reddish brown coloration to them. It almost should be the red velvet, like red velvet cake. That's what it would remind me of. So when people ask why I'm not into the common names, I'm just going to start pointing to this one. Like we got ones like this that make no sense. But regardless, awesome spider. I picked these up at Dinky Reptiles, oh gosh, July of 2018, I think. And it was a little tiny half inch to three-quarter inch sling. These guys grew like it was a little tiny thing at first. And again, the old dram vial with the moist substrate, it burrowed right down to the bottom. And it was basically you drop a prey item in, the prey item would disappear. You just assumed it was eating. And it was one of those ones that I didn't see for quite some time. And when I finally saw it again, it was like, whoa, we need to do a rehousing. It was huge. Put on a lot of space, a lot of size. It basically was one of those species that would eat great, it would molt frequently, and would put on a decent amount of size with each molt. So this little tiny sling was quickly like an inch and a half or inch and three quarters or inch and a quarter or so. It was time to rehouse it. I do have rehousing footage. Right now it's time to rehouse it again. It's in a container that's probably not quite large enough for it, and that'll be one of the ones that's getting a new home very soon with some of these new enclosures I have. But gorgeous spiders, like really, again, that I know a lot of people, I think, seek them out because they hear black, and black tarantulas are obviously incredibly coveted in the hobby. There's just something about a big giant black spider, and these are not black. So I've heard people go, yeah, it's disappointing. I got a, you know, female and it's not black, but the coloration, you just have to see it to appreciate it. It really is a neat looking spider. Mine has been rather laid back, no hair kicking. It's, you know, a little like basically one of those ones you feel badly about because when you open up the container, it just scrunches up in a stress pose. It doesn't bolt. It doesn't threat posture. Eats really well, again, growing quickly. Right now it's eating full-grown crickets. I'll usually drop two in a pop, and I'm hoping it's going to go into pre-molt soon. Fingers crossed it's a lady because this is one I haven't seen any more out and about recently, and it would be a nice one to get a lady with and do some breeding because, again, Acanthoscuria are awesome. The care was very easy on them too. One of those, you know, obviously the little moist substrate for the babies, and then I keep the substrate partially moist at all times for the juvenile, and now mine's probably, I'd probably say young adult size. It's showing its adult colorations. It's a good 4 inches or so, and it does perfectly fine. Water dish, good to go. Great eaters, cool looking spiders. I think they're a little on the smaller side. I think they're 5 to 6 inches or so as far as Acanthoscuria are concerned, so they're not huge behemoths of spiders, but good looking, you know, I'd say medium-sized spider. obviously a relative to the much more popular cousin, the Acanthoscuria geniculata, and unfortunately they don't get as much attention as the geniculata does. And granted, geniculata is like a hobby staple and in a league of its own, but one that should not be overlooked, because for people looking for a cool, you know, kind of decent size, pretty spider to display, this one would be definitely something you should check out. All right, finally, last one on the list. I've talked about these guys for years, and the good news is I saved it to last because I'm actually seeing them out and about more, which is great, because for a little while you didn't see them out. But the Cercopelma species Santa Catalina, again, picked these ones up from Tom Patterson. I think there's like five on the list, four or five on the list that I got from Tom. And at the time, you didn't hear much about them. You don't, Cercopelma species don't get a lot of attention, which is odd because I think they're just overshadowed by some of the other larger, you know, tropical species like Lasiodora, Formictopus, Pamphibidius, things of that. And people look, you know, they're the ones everybody's going after, but these guys should not be overlooked because they're big, fast-growing tropical spiders. Mine, I picked up from Tom, again, February of 2017. She was like, I want to say about 3 inches at the time or so, and has been a voracious eater. Is usually, she did a little bit of burrowing, you know, made a little burrow, but always out in the open. Little skittish, but I've never had her kick hair. She just kind of bolts around, but the coloration on them is just amazing. And again, I try to feature these guys whenever possible, because they're one of the ones I'm like championing them, because they're just such cool spiders and I don't get why they're overlooked. Just gorgeous orangey, deep orange, reddish, maroon kind of coloration. She almost looks like, it reminds me of like some Brachypelma species, like the orange Brachypelma species. Obviously, it's not that sharp contrast of bright orange to black that some of them have, like I'm thinking of the Bamies. But there is kind of that orangey look to them that I absolutely adore. Not, I don't get why more people don't check them out, because they're not a brown spider. Good size. I mean, mine right now is about 7 inches or so. Big girl. Great appetite. Good growth rate. They grow quickly. The good news is I've seen slings. I think Fear Not Tarantulas has had them in a couple times now, which is great. And I've had people that have emailed me, hey, I picked some of these up. I'm so excited. And they're loving them. And hopefully, again, some of those get out there and get bred so we get more of them in the hobby. Because this is Cercopelma species. I think a lot of people sleep on them. It would be nice to see more of them in the hobby. I do plan on getting more. Again, Fear Not had a bunch of different species in. And unfortunately, I waited too long to pick them up and I missed out. But I would definitely love to get more of them and raise them up. Because, again, I love those large tropical species. And unfortunately, Cercopelma is not on a lot of people's radars, but that's why we do lists like this, so that people are aware of them. They'll check them out. And if you go over to like, if you're any of these spiders, if you go over to my Tom's Big Spiders on YouTube and go to the video, click on videos, there's a little search bar. If you put the names of these spiders in, you'll see any videos I have them, so you can actually see pictures of them. I am going to put together the list and do a video version of it, but in the meantime, that'll allow you to see these guys. And I think I have a couple that feature the Cercopelma species Catalina, and each time I put pictures of them, I get a lot of comments like, my God, I didn't even know this thing existed. That's a stunning spider. Where do I get them? Which is great, because that's what we're here for, you know, to educate and to help people, you know, add to their ever-expanding tarantula wish list. That's what we do. So that would be the last one we will be covering today. There are, again, there are other ones I thought of including, but some of them I think are just more new to the hobby, and therefore they're just not as prevalent. But I think that will change as more people breed them, because again, if you get something that commands a lot of money, people are going to be more inclined to breed them. You know, I thought about doing Birupes cimaroxigorum, but again, that's one that people are going to grab. They grow quickly. They're going to breed them, and before you know it, they'll be in the hobby everywhere, and they'll be $50 each. So that's not so much a obscure one. It's just a new one. I tried to pick ones that have been around for a while that most people haven't heard of, or many people haven't heard of, and hopefully, you know, again, stimulate some interest in them so that next time they're around, people go, hey, you know what? I remember that one from Tom's Big Spiders podcast. That's something I'm interested in getting. So hopefully I've helped you add to your wish list, which are probably already long enough, but again, there's no harm in adding some of these to it. And hopefully, you know, if over the course of the months or years, people pick these up and you grab some, please let me know. Drop me an email, lay up, you know, a comment on one of my videos or something. Let me know, because I do love hearing when people actually go out and buy these things and go, hey, you know what? You introduced me to this species and I picked one up and I love it. I love hearing that stuff. I've been hearing it a lot lately with Formictopus, which was great because obviously I've been trying to champion them over the course of the years. And now I think a lot of people are finally picking them up and checking them out. like it makes me feel good. It makes me feel like I'm doing something. So that will do it for this one. Again, thanks for all the well wishes from people for the new house. It's been fantastic, and look forward to seeing, you know, again, if you want, pop over and see the new video that features some footage of the new tarantula room, and you'll be obviously hearing more about it. And we just did the whole podcast from it, and I didn't have to stop once because of a farting, snoring dog or dogs running around. It's been amazing. Now, granted, if anybody hears a fart now, there's only one person we can blame. So let's hope that I'm totally kidding. That's not going to happen. But I've had people, again, that's how that whole story came, where somebody said, hey, I heard you fart at, you know, 12 minute mark. And it wasn't me, it was the dog. But anyway, no more of that, unfortunately. Although maybe we'll bring them up here every once in a while just for old time's sake. But that'll do it for this one. As always, you can find me on thomasbigspiders.com, the website. You can find me on Tom's Big Spiders on YouTube. I should be doing another. I'm going to try to squeeze in a holiday episode before Christmas, because we're down one, because obviously I missed the episode last week. So I do want to get another one in. So stay tuned for that. If I can get it done, we'll get it up there. Just in case, though, I hope everybody has a safe and happy holiday and a safe and happy new year. And we'll catch you all next time.